It's Friday. This is the Year 10 GCSE Computing Podcast with Alan O'Donoghue, who is at Techno Teacher, T-E-K-N-O Teacher on Twitter, and
Vicky Dodd, who is at Vickyville, that's V-I-K-K-I-V-I-L-L-E on Twitter.
Why do we record this podcast? What's it all about?
Sharing how we teach computing, GCSE computing.
And how many classes have you got?
I've got two. I've got a year 9 and a year 10, so it's not just year 10.
And I've got a year 10 and a year 11. But the podcast is mainly about the year 10. And this podcast exists to try and help you, if you're thinking of teaching year 10 GCSE or any year GCSE computing, it's to give you some ideas how to start. I don't really think of myself as an expert. Would you say that?
No, I'm not an expert. I'm an experimental.
Oh, good. I like that. Experimental expert. Because I'll be honest, I've made some mistakes in some of the things I've done, and afterwards, some of the things I've done, I've thought, oh, I wish I'd done it a different way. But I'm sharing that in a kind of open, transparent way, so that hopefully people will listen to what I've done, and they won't make the same mistakes, and they may even give me advice.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I've made plenty of mistakes on my road.
Now, this week, I've had just one lesson with my Year 10 class, because we've had Year 10 exams at the moment, so I lost some of my lessons to the exams, but I've had one with them, which I'll go into in a moment. Have you had any?
I've had both Year 9 and Year 10 for a double lesson this week.
And do those double lessons, is it 2 hours together?
2 hours together. Year 9 on a Monday and Year 10 on a Tuesday.
You must have to be really structured and organised to make those 2 hours work.
Yes. I started off dividing it into programming and theory, but then I very quickly just concentrated on programming with Year 9 for the 2 hours.
But I can see that working as well in a way, because when I've been doing some of the coursework assignments, and like on a Tuesday, we don't have an hour, we have 55 minutes for a lesson, and it just, Tuesdays always have this sort of frenetic feel about them, and they come in, it's like, right, yeah, controlled assessments, log in and all. And then, zap, the bell rings, and it just feels like we've not really achieved a lot in an hour, whereas I imagine a two-hour lesson, you can,
yeah, I can
get
do
really into
I
it.
I can do extended projects, programming projects. Yeah. Like at the moment, they've been doing Hangman. That's the Year 9s, which is quite a complicated program to do, because obviously it involves while loops, it involves ifs, it also involves string handling.
And you're doing all this in Python.
I'm doing everything in Python. Yeah. And it means as well that the Year 10s get a two-hour solid session on their controlled assessment, a programming controlled assessment, which works fantastically well.
So before I mention my lesson, just to give you a little bit of background, I've been showing you that I have this, I use this Google document, it's a spreadsheet,
yes,
where you can track and you can see, and if you're listening, it's tinyurl.com/10ACO1, that's my class code. Now if you look at that, what you'll see, I've not got it open at the moment, but you'll see some of the children in the class are way ahead and there's some that are way behind. And it's a mixed ability class.
Yeah.
And there are some children who have real issues with literacy in there. And there's some children who are, they're top set maths, top set science, and they're going to be getting A stars.
Whiz
and
kids.
And because of such a spread of ability, I found it more of a challenge this year, because my year 11s are pretty much in the top end of the ability range. But the year 10s, there's every kind of...
I've got full range of ability in both classes. Really, in the year 9, it's very, very a huge spread. Not so much in the year 10, but still with a couple who are quite clearly high flyers, but then a couple who are really low ability.
So the challenge that I found is I decided we've had a sequence of lessons where we've done the controlled assessment and then we were preparing for the exam. And I know I've got another lesson coming up on Monday when we do controlled assessment. I feel that some of them in the class are really going to struggle to move on in the next lesson. So I decided to pause where we were up to and do a little bit more teaching. Now, obviously, I can't teach them the solution to the problem, because otherwise, not only am I breaking the rules, but it's just defeating the whole point of what the coursework assignment is about. So I started to think, well, what similar things are there that we can look at? Just going back to basics in Python, because while we've had all these distractions of exams and preparation, some of them, because they've not been exercising their Python muscles, they've kind of got a bit out of touch and with that. So what I did, I'm just looking at something on my screen now. I And if you want to look at this, I've got another document on Google. It's tinyurl.com/10acomputing. And I've put in there things like their revision lists and their homeworks. And on the 15th of May, what I did was, that was Wednesday, wasn't it? Yep. It was the day, the deadline that we had to have sent all the grades in for the year 11s.
Yeah.
So I've off that document, I've got some programming, not so much challenges, because, well, I mean, now I've started to think I would do it in a different way, but I've given them like a loop to iterate, which is copy this thing down in your book, predict what you think is going to happen, then write down what actually happened, and then comment each line of code. Now, what I said was, I said to the children who were at the very top end of the ability range, I was saying, now, come on, look, there's what we've got. We've got A, B, C, D, E, F. So that's six different examples. The ones who are at the top end, I didn't say that to them. I said, the pinky people. Come on, pinky people, you should be going, oh, yeah, A, B, C, oh, I could do them. No problem. They had to get them done pretty quickly. But I said, but when you get to E and F, that's when it starts to get a little bit more interesting. And it's particularly F. I want you to race through them as quickly as possible, because F is all about exception handling. Now, it's not something up to now that I've been teaching in the class. It's just, it's quite a new concept for me as well. But it would be, within the controlled assessment, what they have to do is they have to test their programs to see if they work. But it's really obvious to test for things that you know are going to work. But what about the things? So if it says, like, if it said, how many sides is a shape going to have? And you type in the number 5, that's okay. But what if you type in F-I-V-E? Or what if you misspell it?
Yes.
Or what if you type in 5,500? So exception handling allows you to deal with scenarios that you don't expect. And it deals with it in a way that it deals with it neatly, rather than going, it doesn't work. Program, it take me to your leader, all this kind of stuff. It actually deals with it in quite a nice way.
See, I haven't done anything on exception handling yet.
It's not something you've heard
it's
of?
Not, no? It's not, I've heard of it, but I've not done it in Python as yet with my groups. They've started their control assessment, they've completed task one. It might be something that I'll introduce, but...
I have to say... The children who are really struggling to even do the first... At the moment, they're just not ready for this.
Yeah.
This is way beyond where they need to be. But it's the children who are getting towards the end. Oh, I haven't said to them, you should be using this for your controlled assessment. I've just said, look at it. Here's an example of something. Is this something that you think you could deploy, you could use? And it's not even in a situation in which they could use. I've Googled... Python 3 exception handling, and within the documentation on the Python site, it gives you examples.
Yeah.
You can even set up your own custom values so that it will respond in a way that you want. So that was really what that lesson was all about. And then on Monday, where am I on Monday? Oh, I'm off doing something with another school somewhere. But on Monday, they're going to be doing the controlled assessment, and they've got all their preparation now to go back. So, enough about me.
Enough about you. What did I do? On Monday, with my Year 9 GCSE computing, I did the hangman challenge that they've been doing. I was setting up a mock controlled assessment. We started it a couple of weeks ago, but we've had interrupted lessons with bank holiday.
So this is not the real controlled assessment?
No. I'm getting them to do it. I did the same with the Year 10. Yeah. I did a Magic 8 Ball one with the Year 10. But these have done hangman. And it was also to teach other methods of string handling.
Yeah.
And they have planned it all, they've done flowcharts for it, they've written pseudocode, and now they're creating the program. And again, with some lower ability, you find out they're struggling because they can't remember and cast their mind back.
You know what?
Months ago.
I really think you're onto something with that, because that's, I was saying at the beginning of the podcast how I make mistakes. Because we've gone straight into a controlled assessment, I've now got that such a straitjacket around me where I can't say, hang on, Vicky,
don't do that. Yeah.
But because... I don't want to break those regulations, especially if I'm telling people in a podcast, So, whereas you've got that freedom and flexibility.
Because we started with year nine, but the year 10s are currently in their control assessment. But what I did is we did a practice project on the Magic 8 Ball. This is with the year 10s. But what I then also did was wrote up my own version of that as a controlled assessment. So they could actually read the document, look at the example, and actually know how that programme worked because they created it themselves. So that included everything from the analysis, design, pseudo code, flow chart, right the way through to the development with the screenshots, annotating it, testing, and then right the way through to evaluation. So I've done that, and they can relate to it because it's a program that they created.
You've just reminded me now, I did something similar. I actually gave them a list of all the sort of topics. That means we're going to be teaching a lesson in a moment. But I actually gave them a list of the topics, so things like, analysis, design, testing, development, and I just put them in a random order on the board, and I asked them to come up with, to turn it into like a linear sequence, and then we shared it with the rest of the class. And of course, some of them have put things in different places, but there were some that kind of, like analysis, pretty much needs to be at the beginning, although you can come back to it later on. So that was...
That worked really well with the year 10s, because they've also got a copy of that that they can then look to.
Yes, they can refer back to it.
They can refer back to it. So that's worked really well. But with the year 9s, what I did on Monday, unless you want to stop this now and then come back
to it. Yeah, I think we need to pause this now because we've got a class coming in, and then we'll see what happens later.
Yes, okay.
So pause. Right, so
we're rudely interrupted by the bell.
You're back in the room. Okay. So you were talking about
Hangman. Yeah. My year nine class. It's an ongoing project, and it's ran to be a practice controlled assessment. So prepare them for the beginning of year 10 when they will actually do their programming controlled assessment. And what I did is, because our school have had a focus on differentiation by design, and because I've got a very mixed ability class, I laid it out, because now they were creating their Hangman projects, with different hints. And I had different hints for different sections. So if they were struggling to create the variables and struggling to get user input, struggling with the string handling methods, there was different hints available. And what they had to do is, if they required a hint, they could come and get it, but they had to write their name down and record that they'd required that hint.
You're really good at doing this kind of thing.
That was the lesson.
So why are you getting them to write their name down?
So I know who's required what hints.
Do you think there's any sort of shaming? Do you think the children are going to think...
No, they weren't at all.
Oh, right.
No, even the brightest ones, and the really, you know, whiz kids with Python programming, came up and they required how to get the word, the secret word in Hangman, to display as the underscores. Sure. We'd done it previously, but they'd forgotten, so they needed a reminder. And they had no shame at all in writing it down.
I'm really wishing now I'd done that at the beginning of the year. But I suppose if I hadn't told you that I'd done it my way, then, or you would have done it that way anyway. What am I talking about?
I don't know. What was your way?
Because with my current year 11, I really left starting the controlled assessments too late.
Yeah.
And that wasn't by accident so much. That was, I'd planned to start one of them in the summer term. Mm-hmm. And then we had two children were absent for an extended period of time, but I didn't know. And I just thought, well, I'll wait another week till they're in, and it's a small class. And then we had the school production and the whole school mass. And the class, that my GCSE computing class, they were doing the lighting and the sound, and they were missing from loads of lessons. I thought, I'm going to have to leave this till September. And then I had two 20-hour controlled assessments to do.
Year 11.
And it's just been a nightmare trying to squeeze it in. So I would say start as early as possible, which I've done with year 10. Yeah. But now I'm starting to wish that what I'd done was... start done your way, which is to do a practice controlled assessment, maybe a much shorter time frame, but with those building blocks like the testing, the design, the analysis, the development, almost each lesson you do one of those, and they've got that to refer back to when they actually go to do the real one.
Yeah, I think year nine, because I focused on programming in year nine, just solely programming, they will be really prepared in year 10.
Yeah.
The only issue is the maturity of the language and actually laying out the documents and this, you know, the actual assessment and how they write it up. That's the only issue with doing it as soon as you start year 10. And the year 10s that I've got are obviously now at the end of year 10. I've got no concerns with them. They'll have to do the other year, the other control assessments, the A452, in September.
So do you know, between with year 10, from September to about February, I was doing 1 hour lesson. Sorry, 1 hour lesson a week was theory.
Yeah.
1 hour was programming, and then the other hour kind of every fortnight flip between them. But then when I got to February, what I did was I thought, I'm going to stop teaching the theory in the lessons, yeah. and I'm going to start setting them as homeworks. And occasionally we'll have lessons where we pick up on bits that they just don't get from the Susan Robson book. They're not quite there. I think starting in September, what I would do was the next year 10 class, I wouldn't start off doing that 1 hour theory a week. I think I'd be doing the... I think I'd start off with programming every lesson. I mean, they do enjoy it. They got a lot more out of that than the theory lessons, and then say, look, we're doing the theory outside of the lesson.
It'd be really good to actually adopt the flipped classroom model completely and actually source the videos and the resources. Yeah. And they are out there now. They're growing, so there will be that.
That's right. So while I've been relying on Susan Robson's book almost entirely, things are, you know, with the news that the BBC Bite Size are going to have the computing science materials ready soon. There's going to be so much
available to actually really implement the flipped classroom model. And for theory, I think that works better because at home, I mean, at my school, YouTube's blocked, for example. Yeah. So I actually can't allow them to sit in class watching videos anyway. So they need to do that.
And teachers who are going to be teaching the GCSE computing for the first time from September are going to be in a much better situation than
we have far more resources available than we did. I did last September and you did the year before.
Yeah. And if you've got lots of money, well, that's even better again. Because, I mean, the computing at school community, I used to go on there every single day and I'd look at the resources that people had uploaded. Now there's just so much stuff going on there. I mean, a lot of that's down to you as well, the things you've put on there.
I put a lot of stuff on there. I haven't done for a few weeks now, but that's simply because we've been doing prolonged projects now with my year 10, so the need to create these resources weekly isn't there at the moment. But there's masses on there. There's new things popping up
every day.
Every day.
And it's so good now that you can literally, in the search box, you can say, like, type in Python year 7, and it's coming up, whereas before you'd have to type in programming.
I was searching for Python string handling, and there wasn't much there. That's why I ended up creating the hangman.
Yeah. If it's not out there,
basically.
Right, I think we need to wrap it up.
Yes, lunch.
So, yeah, we've not had any lunch yet, and we've got about 10 minutes. We've been nattering too much, that's what it is. So you've been listening to the Year 10 GCSE Computing podcast that we record every week. You can download the whole series in iTunes. Just do a search for Techno Teacher, T-E-K-N-O. You've been listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue's T-E-K-N-O, Techno Teacher, and...
Vicky Dodd, V-I-K-K-I-V-I-L-L-E, on...
Doesn't roll off the tongue quite. No.
Vickyville. Yeah. It's Vickyville. Yeah. My own little world, you see.
Did you see or did you mention before that Computing at School has got over 4,000 members now?
I think it's 4,500.
4,500, that's incredible.
It was 4,000, it literally jumped straight up to 4,500.
And if somebody's listened to this podcast and they're not a member, shame on you. You really do. You don't know what you're missing out on. It's just a fabulous place to be.
Yeah, and there's the Computing at School conference coming up shortly as well.
That's right, and all the tickets, they sold out like that. Yeah, it should be a week long. A day is just not enough.
No, absolutely, we need longer.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. We say bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.